Live on ABC Local Radio and Grandstand Digital, this is ABC Radio's Fans Grand Final Breakfast with Libby Gore. I'm Dennis Cometti, and here's Libby.
The song From Little Things, Big Things Grow has become a modern Australian anthem. Tonight, it will feature After the Magnificent Welcome to Country at the Gabba for this historic Queensland AFL Grand Final.
Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
And the man who wrote that song with Paul Kelly around a campfire is none other than your next guest. His name is Kev Carmody, and he joins you from somewhere in between New South Wales and Queensland. Grand final morning, stupid o'clock. Good morning to you, Kev.
Good morning, Libby, and good morning to all the listeners.
It's very exciting, Kev. A little birdie has told us that song is going to be sung at the grand final today.
Oh, my goodness. True.
Did you not know?
Well, that bird must be under COVID lockdown because it's down there and not up here. I didn't. I know that the grand final's today.
It is today. Your song is going to be played at the grand final.
Oh, my goodness me. Holy mackerel. Well, like that, like what a huge flaming development, Libby, from like 40 years ago or even 30 years ago or so when we wrote the song, to have it played at a grand final, that recognition. You know, we've still got a heck of a long way to go as a society, broad society, but as an Indigenous society, we've got a long way to go too. But, like, fantastic for grand final. Like, that's the peak, isn't it?
Can you tell me about that night around the campfire? What was it, 1998 or something ridiculous?
Well, it was 10 years before that, my friend.
Was it? 88?
Oh, God, yes, it was about 1990.
Right.
He came up with his young son, Declan, and picked him up off the bus in an old Land Rover troop carrier we had with our three boys and the wife. And down we at the time, and down we went to this big water hole that just been opened up as a camping area just outside of Brisbane, and put the tents up and got going, got the fire going, had a feed. And I had this idea with, you know, a couple of chords on a mandolin or a banjo or whatever. And he had this idea about this relationship between you and me, this small thing had grown really big, and it was a personal relationship. And then all of a sudden, I told him, you know, was a good chord progression to put a story to, and then told him about the huge impact of the Gurindji strike had on us as droving people and stock people and, you know, back country labourers. And
there really was a Vincent Leonardi, and there really was a Lord Vesty.
God, yes. God, it just amazing. Like, I was 20 years old at that time when I heard that strike. I was walking in, you know, off to, on a driving camp one night, and Mum, you know, we had an old wireless, we could run an aerial up a tree, and Mum said, I just heard on the ABC radio, 6 o'clock, that the Gurindji mob walked off Vesty Station. And I wasn't even Mum wasn't a citizen. I wasn't a citizen then. I was 20 years old.
Was this, so this is pre-67. You were still flora and fauna.
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. you know, and we kept our eye out. You never went to, you know, that part of, you never went to the little towns on the outskirts. Yeah, no, it was, you watched yourself all the time. I mean, they hid me out for at least 10 years. Well, I never went to school until I was 10.
What do you mean? So, they hid you out?
Well, so you didn't get the stolen generation to take you away. They passed me from relative to relative. I went to Granny's place, and I went to great-uncle and great-auntie's place, and over here, they kept moving us around, and then they didn't know where we were because we were way up in the bush. We used to have we're still out there. That's the old dirt floor hut. We're way up in the middle of the bush, and you have to know how to get in, Libby, otherwise you'd never get in. And we were told to hide anyway. As soon as we heard a car, just go into the bush and hide.
Kev.
Yeah, but anyway, it turned from a personal sort of concept of a love song into a cultural love song, Libby. What do you reckon?
I love it, Kev Carmody.
Yeah.
Thelma Plum's singing at the grand final, and she's singing with Electric Fields. And
oh, my God.
And they're singing your song, this song, on the new release of Cannot Buy My Soul, which Paul put together 13 years or so ago, and they've just re-released it just a couple of weeks ago.
That it's just an amazing version. It just takes my breath away, Libby, because, like, that old man speaking on there, they got permission to use his voice, and I remember hearing him saying, sitting on the ground, no boot on, and he was saying on the TV in black and white, saying, what before Vesty born and I born? This was black for the country. And that's the whole of land rights, that's the whole of all the professors in the world, all the historians, all the doctors. That's what the whole thing is about. And his voice is actually on that Electric Fields version. And I saw that live in Melbourne. I was so privileged at the Helping Awards. It it blew me away.
Who was that man?
Vincent Lingiardi.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah, who before Vesty born and I born? This was black fella country. Oh. And there it is. Goodbye, Queen Elizabeth. Goodbye, Queen Victoria. You know, goodbye, you know, Governor Kerr.
Oh, well. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, from these little things, this big thing has grown. If to have your song played as part of mainstream elite entertainment and celebrated.
Well, Libby, look, sorry to butt in, but that's the thing. You asked Paul. We never heard that played, that particular song. Paul recorded it 2 years before I did because the old man passed away and it was Gumajai for me. I couldn't mention his name or anything. But, it just was never played except on ABC and the little, our community radio stations. And I found it, and Paul found too, that at concerts, people started to sing out from Little Things. Sing that song. Well, bloody hell, what's going on here? Like, this, it was, we never thought. But anyway, it's turned into a people's song.
It is a people's
song. Not me and Paul Kelly now, it's everybody's.
Yeah.
I reckon. I haven't asked Paul yet, but anyway.
He'll say you're the traditional owner.
Yeah, no, well, you're down there. You ask him.
I will.
Hey, can I just butt in again? We really, really respect and we thank Victorians so much for what they've done to overcome this flame and coronavirus thing. You've done fantastic. Looking at it from Queensland up here, you've done great and thanks so much.
Well, actually, we're kind of grateful that Queensland is hosting the grand final for us. It's like you're looking after our baby.
Well, that is right. Now, I don't want to get on shaky ground here, Libby, but there is a few people up here that think that a Sharon is a fella that plays guitar and his Christian name is Ed.
Kev!
No, well, there's just only a few. There's going to be a hell of a lot that normally, aren't really interested are going to be watching it full ball because it is at the, it is actually at the G.
It's the Gabba. It is at the Gabba, and the Gabba is a...
It's at the G.
Yeah.
I don't want to rub it in, Libby.
Yeah, good on you. Kev.
Yes.
When you started writing songs, it must have been like 50 years ago, Paul told me that it was part of an oral thesis at the University of Toowoomba. So you're telling me that at like 10 you were hiding out so that you didn't get stolen and you didn't go to school?
Oh, I had, look, fair income, and that was the point, Libby, when they actually put me in this, or asked, my brother was too, he was younger than me, but put us in this 24-hour, where they had you 24-7 like a boarding thing, but it was for, anyway, they put us in there. And I was a 10-year-old kid sitting up with 5-year-olds, so they already had the stereotype, you're a dumb black or you're a dumb half-caste. And I got belted, like they put most of the information in through my rear end with a strap.
Oh.
Yeah, because you couldn't, you got your sums wrong, you got a cut. And, of course, I got all my sums wrong. I got lots of cuts. But, they found out it wasn't too bad at sports, so then I went to a high school. But anyway, yeah.
So it was sport. It was sport that got you through, really, that released you.
Well, not well. It got me to a certain point, and I realised that, yeah, that there was no way that I was going to go any further too much in athletics as a black fella. We lived at the Cathy Freeman in the year 2000. But I actually was working all those, you know, bottom end jobs, labouring and stuff, lumping bags, cutting cane, you know, and pressing wool, and wound up in the welding shed as a second class welder, which was a permanent job. There was heaps of manufacturing those days. And then at night time, I was really interested in how music. I was always loved the sound of music, whether it be, you know, folk music, classical music. I love classical music, Beethoven and stuff, because we heard that on droving camps on the radio, on the wireless. Mm. And part of the oral tradition was we could relate to that. I mean, we heard Under Milk Wood being read by, you know, Richard Burton and that in the 50s as a little young fella. Dylan Thomas's Under Milk Wood. Yeah. And then, you know, it was just fantastic. I was really, really taken with how certain notes are put together, sounds, you know, whether it be the tonic and the third and the fifth and the seventh and the whatever it was.
So you taught yourself guitar?
Yeah, well I taught myself guitar because I found a book in a dump. Every time we went past a dump at the country town, we used to call that dump, the open-air supermarket, because we could get, you know, nails and flaming bolts and nuts and sheets of iron and wire and stuff. We'd take it all home because we could recycle it. We could get it for nothing out of the dump. But I picked up a book and it said, teach yourself the guitar. And, you know, I was mucking around with a Plectrum then in the middle 1960s. But this one, it taught you how to use your four fingers so you didn't need a band. You could play the bass, the rhythm, and the lead with your own four fingers. And it said, teach yourself. It didn't say, I'm going to teach you. If you've got to get up and do it, get off your rear end.
So, Kev, what are you, 70-something now?
Oh, God, yes, I'm old, mate. You know, our old undertaker in town, he's got his measuring tape out.
Oh, right.
He's got the measurement there. He's ready to go.
Do you want to introduce Electric Dreams?
Oh, my goodness me. As I said, I'm so honoured that they have done this song. They've taken it to another level. It's become their song. There's been so many versions of it. So people have taken possession of that theme, and it's become, as I said, it's become our song.
Football's the winner, Kev Carmody. Lovely to talk to you this morning.
Oh, look, Libby, look, thanks so much. And, like, I just really like to thank the ABC and all your listeners for the support you've done over the years. Thank you.
You're a treasure, Kev.
Thanks, mate. Bye.